What are we doing?
We're talking about rejection.
What is this, though? No one's ever heard this ever before in the history of anything ever in the whole world.
We're doing the Make Break podcast, which doesn't really have a name, but I just called it the Make Break podcast.
That's fine. Do we want to name it?
Like Make Break Cast or something lame like that.
I like the Make Break podcast.
Yeah, I don't like sticking cast on the end of things.
Make Break.
Make Break. Break Cast. Break. Mm-mm. No, that's dumb. Okay, so this is the Make Break podcast. I'm Scott, Rocket Ship.
I'm Kat.
Who's the other person?
I'm Danny, Austin, or Awesome, depending.
What are you going to be on the show?
Be Awesome.
Do you have a broadcast name?
I suppose it would be Danny Awesome.
I mean, they sound the same, right. Basically. So
Danny Awesome. What did I say? You have no idea.
You said Danny Awesome.
I'm not sure what I said.
That's what people are going to hear.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's awesome either way. So this is the Make Break podcast. Make Break is a made-up thing that grew out of a collaborative art space that we used to run called Market Street Media Foundry. Kat is a painter, and I do media things and work at a tech startup, and Danny's a graphic designer, and we've been partners in crime for a while now. You guys are just staring at me like there's... I'm glad this is not a video podcast.
This is what people do.
Well, I didn't know there was going to be a floor show, like...
Okay. I didn't know I was floor showing.
Do you want to say, like...
No, meaning that I didn't know that I needed to provide one. I was listening I was just listening to you talk. I was interested.
I can look at the corporate artwork I hung on the walls to cut the reverberations a little.
Do that.
It looks like craft paper.
Yeah, it's mounted on plexi. It's kind of strange. You guys have no idea what we're talking about, because this is radio and you can't see it.
Sweaty balls.
Anyway, let's get down to business. So Make Break is about everything I've done. I won't speak for the ladies, but everything I've done that's been an independent venture since for a while now has just been about helping creative people, helping people who make things. That's what we started the art space about. And that's what Make Break has become. Some of the stuff we actually do, mostly Kat runs now, but there's an event called Drink and Draw that's monthly figure drawing. And we used to do some stuff like I did a little series of events called Lo-Fi Fun Night, where people would kind of come and hang out and do anything that didn't involve modern electronics
or alcohol.
Yeah, it was sober,
so no crutches at
mainly,
all.
mainly because it was exposure therapy for me, but
or a social experiment. I mean,
it was more that everything else we did at the art space was really, really alcohol oriented.
Very boozy.
Yeah. So we open with a New Year's Eve party that involved jungle juice mixed up in a water cooler.
Good times.
And then we didn't have the water cooler anymore the second year, so we mixed it in a bucket.
Bucket punch.
Bucket punch. And it was awesome.
Good times.
Which was sabotaged, by the way.
Yeah.
Very sad.
We'll get into that story at some point. Okay. I'm sure the bucket punch story will come up.
Never forget.
But we wanted to start doing a podcast because we have always wanted to just reach out to creative people and focus on, I don't know, helping them. Not in a technical sense. I don't know how to knit. I'm not a crafter.
Scott, you kind of translate you call your job at BitMethod nerd translator. And I, a lot of times in my professional life, have been sort of the artist translator.
Sure.
Taking stuff from other elements of the business world and showing artists and makers how to do those things better. And Danny's kind of one of those people that just figures out, I think, the business end of things a little bit more than a lot of makers do. So
she's all about the business end.
Yeah.
Zing!
In so many ways. No, I tend to sort of dive in and then work backwards in terms of figuring things out. So I have a fair share of war stories on different trial and errors that I've made. So
cool. So brass tacks, because you're probably impatient now, dear listeners, with what the hell this is. But basically, we're going to be talking big picture, I guess philosophical, if you will, kind of things about people who make things, the art of making things, the experience of making things. It's not going to be literal. This isn't going to be full of how-tos and stuff. It's not. Observe the craft movement from the outside. I used to do some work with bands. I think a lot of it is applicable to bands. I think the stuff we're going to be talking about is applicable to startups. So you get to decide. Creative class is a gross term, but
I like it.
But it works. This is for those kind of people. The topic today is rejection.
Yay.
That's what we're going to talk about, which is probably fitting because we're probably being rejected right now.
It's a good one to start with.
Yeah.
Think.
We want to talk about rejection. Why are we talking about rejection?
Because you get rejected a lot when you are a member of the creative class.
No, literally, though. Like, what brought this about?
Oh.
Cheering.
Yeah. Danny and I and Scott run... Danny and I are co-directors now. An indie craft event called Market Day. And it's a monthly event in Des Moines. We're going into our third year. And we just went through the first real round of jurying with way more applicants than we've ever had before. So our rejections were bumped way up our decisions were made even more difficult. So it's a really good time to talk about the application process and what you can do with the rejections that you get.
And some people took it very well.
Yeah.
Right? Some people were like, that's great. I understand. Some people got accepted. Some people got half accepted, like you're on a waiting list. Some people went apeshit and did not take it very well.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
Very tragic.
And I didn't even have to read them. I feel like I know what they are without having read them. I used to do booking for a lot of music festivals, and you know, I can't, everyone has a different reason that they react badly to rejection. I'm not going to try and paint everyone with one broad brush. I think there's a lot of reasons, but it's not good. Like, whatever the reason you're flipping the fuck out about getting rejected from something, it's not good. So just talk to me, tell me about some of the in the broad sense, like what are the bad reactions that people are giving you guys?
I think I've gotten about every flavor of bad reaction over my, I hate to call it a career, but I mean, over my career as a event organizer, which has gone about 5 years now. I think my favorite is the, well, are you sure response, where they get back to you and they say, well, you know, I've got these images and I want to send them to you. And maybe you'll look at those and you'll say, okay, well, you can be in. Or they lay out their case in a very well-argued manner with, you know, topics and subpoints and all that stuff. And I'm not really sure what people expect from that, because usually it's pretty clear that we've got limited space and that space has been filled. And I don't really have any wiggle room. And I think that's my very favorite one.
There is the I'm disappointed in you kind of answer, where they say, well, my product is clearly superior and it's just very unfortunate that you will not have it in your arsenal,
yeah.
Which is always sort of interesting to sort of dress us down as if that may help you in the future.
Well, and that tends to happen a lot when somebody's product was mismatched to the event that they're applying for. Market Day has a really specific desire for, I hate the word unique, but I would say original crafts.
Original is a good word.
Is better. Stuff that you'll be able to see, remember, and match very specifically to their maker because of the style or the materials they used or the concept behind them. And then even I've done more mainstream art festivals, but people sometimes apply with stuff that's not quite, and it's well made, but not in the right vein. And that's often when people give me the I'm disappointed in you response. Like, no, it was well made. I totally get that. But
there were also actually a couple of those that showed up on the Facebook, which is the public.
Even worse. That's significantly worse. Yeah. I had that problem. So in my previous life doing music festivals, I won't name names, but because I'm sure this has happened to music festival organizers everywhere, always throughout history. But the internet message board is just terrible. Now it's Facebook. People just use Facebook. But when I was doing it was an internet message board that some people had. Like, as if Google doesn't work, right? Like, as if people that I know aren't using this message board and just lashing out in really over-the-top ways. Like, I've never had someone... Like, I think the only appropriate, like, this can't be right response is if you receive information that makes you think that someone was incorrect.
Yeah.
Right. So like if you're a metal band and I send you an email that says, sorry, we're not taking any more folk acts for this festival. Mm-hmm. Okay. Email me and tell me I screwed up.
Yep.
That's an obvious mistake. Yeah. But outside of an obvious literal mistake, it's second guessing someone is just pointless. And we're talking right now about a very literal form of rejection. Mm-hmm. I apply for something and I'm literally
get turned down.
Rejected.
Said no.
Someone said no. But I think that this is applicable in the broader sense of rejection, right? That you put something, there's rejection in the form of silence. You put something out there on, I don't know, DeviantArt. You put something out there on Found, on StumbleUpon, on Facebook, whatever, and just crickets.
Right. Well, and even some, you know, festivals or events in the vein of Market Day may not have as... We generally try to tell people, please apply by this time. Mm-hmm. We will reply to you by this time. And, you know, and that way there's a clear time span, and then we do reply by that time. There are other events where you kind of send things out and then you never really hear. So I would much rather hear, well, thank you, but your product isn't necessarily in the vein of our event, rather than never actually hearing back. So at least you know that someone is paying attention to you.
And well, that's kind of interesting, because when you're practicing fine art and you're applying to galleries and things like that, you can send out dozens of packages and press kits and CDs with your images on them and never hear back. Like, that's the story all over. When I sent mine out last summer, I had a self-addressed, already filled out postcard in there with, I mean, I went so far as to write on the postcard and say, like, thank you very much for sending in your work, Cat Rocket Ship. And then I had checkmark boxes, like, did not, am not sure, you know, didn't like your work, did like your work, that kind of stuff. All they needed to do was check boxes, and I was hoping that it would be kind of offbeat and they would really latch onto it. I didn't get any responses back.
Well, they don't have the fucking time.
No, I know,
like,
they don't.
They just don't have the fucking time.
But that's very
so
common.
Disappointing. Because, like, a lot of them, I mean, the mail's right there, you just click and then send, you know.
From what I've gathered, I think that many of those things just go immediately into a file folder, and then maybe they'll pull it out. Like, I might get a postcard in 3 years, and that just might be the way it is. But it's so frustrating to not know. And then some of them say, please do not follow up. And then some of them say, please do follow up. If you haven't heard from us, feel free to pester us again. So everybody's got their own specific wishes too.
Well, let's go deeper. Let's look at this on the, yeah. That's going to be a lot louder when I compress all this.
Am I allowed to say that's what she said?
You can say that's what she said.
That is what she said.
But let's go deeper. So I think there's, you fuckers.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm 10. I'm sorry.
Do 10-year-olds know that joke?
No.
I don't think so. Mm-mm. I don't want to say what's wrong with people, but I want to say what's wrong with people. Like, what's wrong with someone? What's wrong with someone's approach?
Well,
what's wrong with someone's thinking that goes from, here I am, I'm being all excited, I'm being all professional, here's all my photos, here's all my stuff, to fuck you stupid fucker, how do you not know how great I am?
I kind of want to talk about what's right, like how you can handle rejection in a good way, because it dovetails with that.
Well,
too.
Yeah, I mean, same thing.
Yeah. My favorite, and I don't know that all people who run events like this, but I love it, is when people say, they email me back and they say, if you have time, I would love to get just a little response on why I didn't fit. And that's fantastic, because then I can say, you know, 90% of cases, I'm going to say your work was really well made, but you had too many products and it wasn't focused enough. Or I've seen, I wouldn't be able to pick your work out of a lineup and match it up with you. I've already got too many people who look similar to that, something like, and I can give people constructive criticism.
Well, take it broader than an art festival. I mean,
sure.
what's because that's hopefully not our audience, because, you know, I guess what I'm looking, one very good possible option is just suck it up and move on.
Mm-hmm.
I think another very good option is to politely ask for constructive
and very
feedback.
Very unobtrusively and make it clear that you don't expect a response, and that any response you get, you greatly appreciate. But, you know, you aren't going to hold a grudge if you don't hear anything back. And that does apply to anything. Like, that applies to gallery applications, to, you know, some art groups have application processes where you have to send in stuff and get juried by the group of artists to be able to be in the posse, things like that.
Well, and I think that it's important to mention that while, you know, a lot of times a rejection is just a rejection and that will be the end and it's over, with Market Day specifically, you know, we go from month to month. People drop out. People have conflicts. We have an event where we have you know, more than our normal number of vendors. And if you come back from a rejection saying, well, fuck you guys, I don't want to be in your festival anyway, well, then you're not. But if you come back and say, okay, how might I improve, and we have time to give you a couple pointers, then you would definitely be someone that we'd call back when we have an opening.
For sure. And I think that's a really important point, is that sometimes people don't understand that, you know, a rejection feels, in a sense like this, is very binary. Mm-hmm. You're either accepted or you're rejected. It's not school. You didn't get a C minus. I mean, some stuff, like some of the for what I do, like professionally, some of the festivals, or not festivals, conferences and stuff that we apply to, you get scored. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of adjusted for, it's graded on a curve, right? So the number doesn't necessarily mean anything. Like if you get 98 out of 100 points, but everybody else gets 99 points, you don't get in. So it doesn't mean that getting rejected doesn't mean that you suck. And it's hard for people to understand that, I think, because it feels so personal. And I think that one of the reasons for that is they're not getting feedback early enough. If the first piece of feedback you get is a rejection from something you've applied to, mm-hmm. right? If you're crafting away, writing away, painting away, whatever, in your basement, and then the very first thing you do is apply for an event, apply for a publication, apply to a magazine, that's going to hurt like hell because you waited too long to start getting feedback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. I think the best way to think of it is, this might be the only realm where rejections are totally not personal. Like even when you're applying for a job, it could be more personal than these kinds of rejections. And I think the best way to think about it is, how can I keep this relationship open, and how can I make sure that it keeps building positively from here on out? Because most likely the relationship that you have with this person is there's not, the door hasn't shut on it. And if you keep improving the relationship as your work improves, or as your work changes, if it's already good and just you need to guide it into a new focus, then that's only going to help you out.
Well, and especially seeking feedback. I mean, there are many people, you know, I keep relating it to Market Day, but I'm sure that this happens with any kind of event. There were some people that I'm sure may have had excellent work, but unfortunately, in their application, we couldn't find photos. Mm-hmm. We were directed to websites that had broken links or no content. And so we had so many applicants that we would just simply move on. Yep. And so I'm positive that there are people in that group that would have completely fit. So if those people would email and say, what can I do? And we said, show us your product, then those people, you know, may have a better chance. So it's important to seek that.
Yeah. If we want to take this like really broad, job applications, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's the same thing. I just there's a great 37 Signals blog post. Signal versus Noise is a blog you should look up and follow if you're a person who makes creative things. They were hiring, I can't remember what the position was. I think maybe it was customer service or something, but I just had this blog post flabbergasted at the quality and type of submissions. You know, the name of the company being wrong, you know, the name of the position being wrong.
Market days.
You know, I mean, people, it sounds like a joke, but people will spell their own name wrong. People will spell their own name wrong. And it's personally like, you know, I don't think this is what happens for everyone, but I know I've done some shitty applications. I know I've done some shitty send-offs for stuff. And I think what it is, for me, it's been, I don't know if anxiety is the right word, but just, you know, you don't want to look at it. Like, it's just hard, mm-hmm. right? It's like, if you write a paper at the last minute, you know, and you've got 30 minutes before class, still, like, so, you know, you just won't edit it, mm-hmm. because like it's going to be worse, because if you go through and you read it, that's going to be painful. It's going to be this pain in your gut of, shit, I don't have any more time, or this is as good as I can do, and I still have to turn this thing in. And so there's a balancing act there for creative people. I think that's the hard thing is, well, I need to apply, mm-hmm. right? I need to apply. I need to put myself out there. But if you do it too fast, if you do it too early, if you do it without getting feedback, right? It's like, I mean, if you don't have someone reading your cover letter, if you don't have someone looking over your application, I don't care what the context is. You're being an idiot. I mean, it's just, and I know that that's a hard thing. People, I don't want to talk about it flippantly. People act like, well, just have somebody read it. That's a hard thing for some people. And that sucks. There's no fix for that. You just have to do it. Like, you have to have somebody look at it.
There is a fix. It's do it more often. Like, it gets easier. It still sucks. Like, it still is hard.
I mean, that's not a better solution than having someone, like, having your neighbor or someone read over your resume. I don't think that's a better solution than doing it more often.
No, I mean, the fix to having it suck is to just have people give you more feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then the critiques get easier. You hear more positive along with the negative. Because sometimes all the time, you're going to probably hear both positive and negative responses, but you're really going to fixate on the negative until you get really good at taking that critique and improving with it.
Well, think of it this way. I could either put my application together and it's too difficult to, you know, take the criticism from, you know, my friend or neighbor or boyfriend, whoever would read it, and I send it off to someone who is going to critique it, who may only have a negative thing to say. No.
Yeah.
You know, so therefore, think of it that way. It's like, well, I could either have my neighbor read it and tell me, oh, this sounds good except for this, or I could send it off completely unedited and have someone who I may want to come off well on edit it and, you know, basically send back a no.
That's fantastic, because then it stings all the more. Like, you could have at least gotten some feel-good tidbits out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've gotten a lot of rejections since I started working at BitMethod. We're, it's a technology company. We build mobile apps and that kind of thing. And we really, 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 really want to be doing more conferences, festivals, speaking engagements. We did South by South. We applied for South by Southwest. We applied for lots of for a few other events. There's one that was really hurtful for me. There's a web conference in Minnesota we applied for, and I got it was hard for me because I helped everyone get their applications together. So it's not just like, oh, mine got rejected. It's like all of mine got rejected. And I emailed the guy. I did exactly. I practiced what I preach, and I emailed the guy, and I'm like, this kind of sucks. Like, you know, I told him like not like this sucks, but I'm personally very disappointed. You know, we put in several applications. They seem to hit the notes that you guys were looking for. Can you tell me where I screwed up? And the guy must have taken an hour. I'm not kidding, to write up a response.
Because people love that shit.
Yeah, and he it was so long, and he. The original rejection didn't include anything about their scoring system. He told me what the scoring in the follow-up told me what the scoring system was, how many points we had scored, and pointed to two of the presentations, and said, you know, this actually crossed the threshold. And what, like, the best thing, there's one of the presentations, he said, I honestly couldn't tell you why this didn't get in.
Yep.
It just didn't.
Yep.
And you know, them's the dice. And it's like, okay. Like, I can live with that. I can, now that I know, I'm totally okay with that, because I've been in that position before where I'm evaluating two bands or two whatever, and saying, geez, I don't know. I guess I'm just going to pick these guys.
You kind of have to go with a gut feeling sometimes.
Yeah, because that's what doing stuff is making decisions. Mm-hmm. You just have to make a decision. And sometimes there is no right or wrong decision. It's just the decision. It had to come down. And sometimes you just don't get lucky. But he gave really great feedback and took it to heart, and it's been very helpful. And so we decided, looking at it, I was able to finally internalize, you know what? I think we're aiming a little too high. Mm. I think we're aiming too high. I'm not going to stop applying to those things. I'm going to keep aiming high. But I got the sense, you know what? We need to build our resume a little bit, mm-hmm. so to speak. So we started a podcast for BitMethod. We're doing that now. We went to... several people were able to go to Bar Camp Des Moines, which is anybody can sign up and talk. And we did that. You know, it was, it's not as high profile as South by Southwest, but...
It's practice, though.
Yeah.
It's practice.
And that shows people that if it comes down to you versus somebody else and you're very, very close, that, you know, not only are you friendly and you presented your stuff well, that you've also got the experience, and that might be what puts you ahead of somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard because I think, you know, to apply for something like that, to apply for Market Day, to apply for South by Southwest, whatever, if you don't have a lot of experience, if you are naturally a timid person or you're just a rookie, you're early on in your career, it's intimidating, mm-hmm. meaning you have to psych yourself up to do it. And because you're psyched up to do it, it hurts even more, right? I mean, it's so, you know, asking a girl out in the seventh grade for most people is a little more intimidating than doing it when they're like 30, you know, and they've done a lot of dating or they're divorced or whatever. Like, you're not as afraid of that rejection. You don't have to get as psyched up to do the ask. You don't have to get as psyched up for that. And I think that's where those negative responses come from, is that people were really psyched up. Their feelings got more hurt than they needed to be. And instead of just saying, you know, I'm going to go have a drink and be sad that I didn't get into this thing I really wanted to do, they lash out.
Yep. Yeah.
And that sucks.
Completely, yeah.
That felt really final.
That's all I got on rejection. Do you want to talk about kitties now?
What about them?
I would just like a kitty report from everybody.
They are soft.
We're all cat people.
Generally, yes.
So I don't mean we collectively, like you, the listeners, and everyone who crafts, although I have found that to
yes.
be the case.
Oh yeah, totally true.
Everyone who listens to the Make Break podcast is a cat person now.
Yeah. If you're listening and you're a dog person, that's okay. I'm glad that you listened. You probably did not enjoy yourself.
We tend to like other cat people.
I just have a sense that you probably did not enjoy this podcast at all.
That's unfortunate.
So, did we cover rejection? I feel like there's something we didn't get to. I always have that feeling, though. Like, I hit the end of something, and it's like, there was a bigger idea that I wanted to get, and I don't know what it is.
How deeply into, like, the process of getting rejected from a craft fair, or are we just talking more about the general idea? Because, I mean, there's definitely more to say about the Market Day process, and I would like to put in the idea that we rejected some very good people from Market Day.
Yeah,
like,
it was hard.
Some people that it really came down to, we, you know, had somewhat of a rating system. It was color-based, you know, and we did the, you know, the 30 initial, you know, we had 45 spots, I believe.
Yeah.
We did the 30 initial, okay, these are people that we've worked with, we know their product, you know, or not even all of them that we, you know, knew. There were some people that had really good presentations. Here's my Etsy. Here's my great product. And we were like, okay, these are the definite yeses. And then we had another 15 slots, and it literally got down to me and Kat, like, arguing back and forth and, like,
and going, no, you decide.
No, and this one, and I don't know, and, you know, what
were
do
there,
we need?
Were there dartboards involved?
No, just colors and a little arguing.
And a lot of capital letters, emails.
You know, and what really sucks is, like, that's totally reasonable. That is totally 100% reasonable. And I hope that someone is not listening and getting even more pissed off. But like, I feel like the kind of people who, like, would email... and like, who emailed you guys being really upset would be listening to this and getting even more upset. And I think the issue is, like, it's taken in an individual context, saying you didn't get in because you didn't attach your photos right, sounds like an asshole-ish thing. But it's not, because you haven't done it. You haven't gone through 200 applications for an event that someone's not getting paid to organize. you haven't gone through 200 applications, job applications for a position at a startup when there's no full-time HR person. You haven't done that. I don't think people understand, like, the aggregate impact of processing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And someone could say, oh, well, there's tools and you know, isn't there software that makes this? There is, but people still have to do their fucking job, right? Like, you still have to attach the files and type things correctly and understand what you're applying to.
Right, and we definitely want, you know, someone who's, I personally, here's a confession, and Scott knows this because I know I've made him crazy about this. I have a problem with attaching files to emails. I'm terrible at it. And every other day he's like,
it's true.
Here's the file. And then, you know, half an hour later, oh, this is actually the file, or I'll attach the wrong file. I'm bad at it. But, you know.
Also, all your files have the same name.
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there as long as we're talking about
it. Okay, I know. I'm sorry. I will date things. I'm trying to date things. But, you know, so we kind of want to see that attention to detail, and I'm psychotically careful about it when I apply to anything. And being a graphic designer, this hasn't come up, but, you know, I'm a graphic designer, I'm a photographer, I do a lot of crafting. I apply for things all the time. I deal with a lot of rejection from all kinds of freelance jobs, from contracts. I'll write a proposal. I'll get shot down. That happens constantly. So, you know, we do want to see, you know, reeling it back a little bit, we do want to see that attention to detail in attaching the files. But definitely, I would say to those people who, you know, if there is one of the people who might have applied who didn't properly attach the files, who's getting pissed off, please don't get pissed off. Please send us photos. There are, you know, we juried May. We still have June through October and then November. Please send us files. Please, you know, just give us a presentation, because this is not necessarily over for you. Don't take it as a final.
I said I didn't want to get into tips, and I think I want you guys to take that the right way, since this is our first podcast. What I mean is, like, I don't want to say, like, specifically in applying for Mark a Day, what should somebody do? Okay. But in the sense of applying for something, here is advice that I think goes across the board, just because you made me think of it, Danny. Put your fucking name in the file.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't care what the file is. If it's a PowerPoint presentation, if it's a job application, if it's a resume, if it's a photo, if it's an MP3, I don't know what you're applying for. I don't know what you're doing, but put your name in it. Put your fucking name in it, because when I have 6,000 photo ones on my computer, or untitled tracks on my computer,
or FB395
IMG_64 Canon, I mean, it's ridiculous. And that's what that aggregate effect, again, is what I'm talking about there, because that shit adds up. It's like, well, isn't it attached to my email? For 3 seconds, until I pull it into whatever system I'm using, whatever HR system someone's using, you know.
Well, and this is kind of getting into the larger view of how to avoid rejections, is the creative class doesn't still want to view itself as business people and professionals. Yeah. Graphic designers do, generally.
Sometimes.
But crafters don't always. Bands, definitely. I've seen a lot of them that either people don't want to accept it or really put it all out there and say, yeah, I'm really going for this, and that's going to suck even harder if I get rejected now. Or they just don't believe in themselves enough. Either way, like, even if you don't think this is ever going to be anything more than a hobby, we want to know that it's a hobby that you're very, very serious about, because hobbyists are not going to get as good at things and be as concerned about customer service and quality of their product, marketing, helping us do our marketing job, all that stuff, as somebody who cares about it as a profession.
No, that's awesome. That's totally on track, because if you think about, I don't know, whatever your perception is of a business person, right? Someone who's trying to buy and sell services. Mm-hmm. If those people, if a salesperson, if a business development director at a company sent out, like, fuck you, you stupid, you know, emails every time they got rejected, yeah, like, do you really think they'd be employed very long? Do you think they would stay in business very long? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous on its face. And if you, this is Scott Rant time, like, if you are a creative person.
We need, like, wait. We need, like, a radio style alarm. Boo, woo, 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 woo. And now the Scott Rant. Go.
Hey, if you are, God, you guys got me off track. Where was I going?
Do not send a fuck you letter.
Yeah. So if you are sending that out, like, if you're hurt on a creative level, if you think that your creativity, your artistic integrity is being impugned by someone rejecting you, get the fuck over yourself. It's not like you are either doing something solely for creative expression, or you are doing something partly for creative expression and partly as a business. There's no two ways about it. Like, you if you are applying for a craft festival, if you are applying to play at a music festival, if you are applying to be in a publication, you're not doing that because, man, I want to spread my, like, that's a commercial endeavor. Magazines are supported by subscriptions and advertising. Take it out to something that's obviously commercial, like television, right? Like, it hurt. Like, one of my favorite TV shows ever, Stargate Universe, just had its last episode, right? It got canceled. And that sucks. It sucks, but it's business. It's a business decision. I don't agree with the business decision, but I'm not privy to all the details. And so, you know, I mean, do you think the director and the actors are going to, you know, I mean, if you look at what they've all been putting out there on Twitter, it's the most supportive thing. It's focused on their fans. You know, they're being as positive as they can be because they want more work. Mm-hmm. They want more work.
Mm-hmm. No one's going to you know, talk poorly about the producer because then yeah. maybe there's no more work.
And I'm not telling anyone to be disingenuous. I'm not telling anyone like don't.
Ass kissing is just as bad.
Yeah, ass kissing is. I think that's worse.
Yeah, I think
I'd rather have
annoying.
Someone. I'd rather have someone tell me to fuck off yeah. than to brown nose me.
Me too.
Agreed.
So good. We can commit that to memory now. It's more important to me that you understand that if you feel like you really need to say, oh my God, fuck off, you don't get it, you guys are so stupid, it's not about not saying that, it's about not thinking that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to have a productive career doing creative stuff, you need to get to a point where you're not thinking that.
Well, and here's the trick. Everybody says act like a professional and to be a business person, but you still can't. It's still hard to reconcile yourself with it. And my advice is fake it until you make it. And that also sounds really cliche, but I've been doing that for a long time and it helps a lot. And what I mean by that is every time you make a decision, you say, if I was already a successful person, if this was my full-time job, how would I react to this? What kind of application would I put out there? How would I respond to a rejection or a question? Would I get defensive? Would I just be pretty straightforward and friendly? And every time you choose to treat it like a professional would, you are getting a little bit more closer to your goal of being that full-time creative business person.
Well, and definitely being in the creative field, like, it's important and it's easy to say, it's hard to do. I still completely, you know, go against my own advice here, but it's important
You're faking it.
Yeah, I'm really faking it. It's really important not to take everything personally, because if I do that, I'm not going to get out of bed. You know, I may as well not be in this field because you have to deal with rejection. And if you didn't get into that festival, if you didn't get that job, if you didn't get that contract, maybe there was someone who walked in the door who just had more experience or was just, you know, just the better fit. Or maybe someone got promoted from the inside. Like, I can't lose sleep every single time. That doesn't happen for me. And that's really true of anyone in the creative industry.
I think you also have to fake bravado. Like, I think that I get a reputation as somebody with more confidence than I actually have because I'm just really good at faking it.
Oh, yeah.
Me too, completely, 1,000%. Yeah. People, for some reason,
but you know what?
That
you can say that about any successful person.
Absolutely.
Is the, mm-hmm. I mean, I you know, there's really great articles out there about imposter syndrome and creativity, and it's all mm-hmm. worth reading, and maybe we can do that in another episode. Ooh. But the basic gist is just, I wouldn't even say that it's bad to feel it personally. It's like, you know, that's your makeup. That's your character. I'm the kind of person who's going to feel stuff personally, whether someone means it personally or not.
And I said that, but every time I get that twinge and that feeling in my stomach, like someone just called me out in grade school and my name is on the board every time.
And it's totally okay to feel that, but to like translating the feeling into knowledge, like going from that feels so personal and so hurtful and I'm so disappointed, I'm so upset, and translating that into like internal knowledge of this person is mean, these people are mean, these guys suck,
they don't know what they're talking about,
that's where it gets dangerous. And then where it gets more dangerous is when you let that boil over into sending an FU email to someone who has a chance to help you. Because it's a lot of times, you know, for something like Market Day, a lot of times the threshold they need to cross, the changes they need to make, the improvements they need to make are very small. Mm-hmm. They're very easy.
Completely.
Very easy changes. And you know, I talk like it's a small thing, but I mean, that's really true of up to a really big level. Like, I don't think people realize how accessible some publications are, how accessible some galleries are. I don't think people actually realize how accessible that stuff is. If it's that you get that rejection and you think, well, I'm not up to their standards, you know, maybe if something was 10% different, maybe if it got reworked a little bit, looked a little more finished, sounded a little more finished, whatever your discipline is, like maybe it's a small change will take you there.
Well, and going back to what I said about the far too specific example of market day, like, you know, about maybe if you didn't send your photos right, do it again. I would encourage people to, you know, if you applied for the job, if you applied for a contract with a company and you then, you know, discovered a flaw in your process or you didn't do something right, I would encourage people, send it again. Just say, you know, I noticed that I could have done this better and here it is. And, you know, if you ever have anything, you know, or you need a position filled, then please keep me on file. And that is the kind of thing, like, not just with Market Day, but in my work as a graphic designer or a photographer, if somebody sent me that kind of contact and said, look, you know, I went over this again and I want to give you better information, that is the kind of person that would stand out in my mind mm-hmm. when I need to call someone mm. to do work.
Yep. You know, show up outside their window at night with the mariachi band.
Why did you say that?
with the mariachi band, you know, tossing pebbles gently at their no, window.
Don't but, actually do don't actually, that.
But no, but just as
that's
a metaphor.
That's going to happen.
But just this idea of persistence is a precious commodity. A lot of people don't have it or are unwilling to use it.
That shows that you accept that that was an issue on your side and sure. not exactly. with the jury
yeah,
or
that's a good
the
point.
HR or something like that. And that's what you really need to be able to see is even if you think that the case is that the HR person didn't quite get what you were putting across, even though you did it as well as possible, you're still taking it upon yourself and not going, well, you're clearly not smart enough to get me.
Well, and I would much rather, especially if it's a large mistake, something that you know that there's a very, very good chance that they saw it. I don't go pointing out every mistake in everything that I do.
Sent you an email and I misused an apostrophe.
I spelled this wrong because that just shows that, you know, you are making mistakes. But if I show up late to an appointment, if I send something incorrectly, then I'm going to be the first person to say, look, I'm sorry I was late. You know, I recognize that I'm sorry, you know, and that way I would much rather have that than someone act like it didn't happen because that makes me feel like, oh, they're late and they don't care.
I think the bottom line here is creative class jobs are really hard, personally.
Very difficult.
you really have to be able to swallow your pride very often because the nature of the job is to keep failing and fucking things up and getting better through that process, where it's not always that way with every other job, you know? You're going to learn something from your failures, I guess, no matter what your profession, but they're so central to painting and designing. And
well, the whole premise of big business, of corporations with a C, and the way they structure their environment is to treat people like robots, eliminate yeah. the possibility of personal failure yeah. or mitigate the impact of any one person's fuck up, especially for someone coming out of that environment. Mm-hmm. Like if you're going from, well, I was working my corporate 9-to-5 and now I'm doing crafting or writing or whatever. It's so different. It's so different. Like you can fail in a huge way and you just have to keep going.
It's different because it's also different because if you do fail in a huge way, it's not nearly as damaging as it would be in the corporate world. You fuck up in the corporate world in
goodbye.
Yes. It's like, well, you're fired. But if you fuck up as a graphic designer, you didn't quite get the concept or you send the wrong file or something like that. It's a lot easier because that's the nature of the job, just to suck it up and say, I do exactly what Danny said. I fucked up. Here we go again. Let's try this again.
But it can also be more difficult because it is being a creative. It's a lot more tied in to, you know, yourself. It's like, yeah. here's the product that I make. Here is the art that I do. It's more personal. It feels more personal. I ran the numbers wrong or I filled out the wrong form is a lot different than I'm sorry, what you do isn't suitable.
Your ideas are not strong enough.
We do not feel that they are interesting.
Yeah.
It's the difference between getting a D in math and getting a D in art class.
Yeah.
Like even down to grade school, right? Like if you get a D in math in grade school, like you're just not understanding something and
mm-hmm. you can get a tutor.
You can get a tutor and you can figure it out. If you're getting a D in art
then you might
in school, like maybe it's just not for you.
And it's subjective. You know, it's difficult to deal with a lot of people's opinions. You could send the same application to five different mm-hmm. people, one of whom thinks it's genius and one of whom thinks that you're an idiot. And there's just no way to know.
Yeah. Oh, that's an awesome point because, you know, the other thing is like looking at rejection of, you know, be nice to people. Be nice to people. Be nice to the people that you're applying to. But also know that, like, when people flip out about rejection, like in the positions that I've been in, when I've had to reject someone or some concept, and people take it super personally, it always strikes me as odd. Like, I didn't know this was such a big deal. You know, like, that's what goes through my head. It's just this, like, this is that big of a deal for you? Like, I, booking One Music Fest, this is a 100% true story. I got a phone call. This is when I stopped taking phone calls from numbers I don't recognize. But I was one man band, kind of doing booking on this thing. And so, like, the office number ran through to my cell phone, took a cell phone call late at night. I was sitting down at Java Joe's, which is a coffee shop in Des Moines. And there's this guy who hadn't gotten booked for this festival. It wasn't an explicit rejection. Like, we didn't send out, "I'm sorry you didn't make it." There wasn't an application process. It was just like, "Let us know if you're interested." We would contact bands, try and book them. And the lineup had gotten announced. He hadn't even been rejected. His band had gotten slotted early in the night. It was like a 10-12 band festivals. And he called me up. I didn't have the cojones to just tell him to F off, and I should have. And so I just entertained this man for an hour on the phone, complaining about playing at 7 o'clock as opposed to 10 o'clock. And it was this whole thing of like, you know, "Hey man, like, we're like, you know, we're fucking metal, you know, and our fans, like, they're not even like out of bed at 7 PM, you know, they're going to be coming out. And like, you know, you got like, what, you got these, we're playing up there with these fucking like young punk kids and blah, blah." And this guy just going on and on and on. And what was really telling to me is that he immediately transferred over into listing all of these reasons why they were a big fucking deal. And none of them mattered to me. Like, I, too, you know, "Hey, we toured with so-and-so, and like our bass player used to play with so-and-so, and he got on this, he's in this band now." And you don't understand, man. And I'm like, I don't fucking care. This is not your event. Like, you make music, mm-hmm. You make music. And while that certainly requires a level of creative skill that is, I think, much more complex than curating a music festival, what I am doing is still a creative enterprise, right? I'm deciding which bands go when, what mix to put together, and you're insulting my creativity by getting so deep and so nuanced with it. And the entitlement was just rolling off of this guy in waves.
I've done the same thing. Before I was working on my own, I worked for an arts nonprofit, and my job was booking artists for an arts festival and booking jazz musicians for a jazz festival. And I would get the exact same, I would have the exact same phone conversations. Now I can also do the same thing I just don't take phone calls from numbers that I don't recognize. But then I couldn't, because I was at an office and I couldn't go like to my boss, "Well, I don't want to deal with it, because it's going to be somebody asking me why the hell they didn't get into jazz in July, or why they didn't get it booked at this major venue and they got booked at a smaller one, or why they got booked first in the night." That was our huge thing. Some nights we'd have double headers. Mm-hmm. And
I'm going to cut in real quick for context. If somebody is not a music person, like, generally for a big festival event like that, it's more prestigious to play later,
yeah,
because it's associated with being a headliner.
Yeah, right.
So, okay.
And so we're Jazz in July, which is basically like the equivalent of any Arts in the Park program. We're not a huge deal. And the bands that we're booking are all local bands. And so sometimes we would pair two of the bigger bands on the same night at the same location, trying to get a really, you know, get 1,000 people out instead of 500 people out at that location. And then every time I would have to talk to whoever was going first and talk them through how it was okay. They weren't going to tarnish their reputation by playing at 7 instead of playing at 7 or 8:30. And I also, we would have to rotate through jazz bands. My favorite, I think, is when they would apply late. Like, it was very similar to Scott's situation, where we just ask if people were interested. And they did put together an application and just kind of tell us what they would do and their pedigree for it. When people didn't apply on time and then called me like 2 weeks after the deadline to say, "Well, I'm a big fucking deal. What do you mean you're not going to book me?" I went, I'm already done booking.
Yeah, like, what do people think that says about
I don't them? Know. Like, are you going to show up on time and then tell me, show up late and then say that you're a big fucking deal?
We didn't touch on this, but I want to make this really clear. If you are listening to this for advice as a person who applies for things, if you screw up the basic details, we have the people processing these applications for whatever don't have the time and have no choice but to read into that and think, if you can't understand this detail, you're not going to understand the other details.
Yep. Right. Exactly. That's a perfect way to put it. And I mean, this is all kind of turning into one long story of do not. But I mean, I think that number one is that is a very good point about being timely and about paying attention to the details, because that is telling of whether or not you are a detail oriented person in general. Mm-hmm. But the other is, I never have, nor would I ever dream of calling someone and not only comparing myself, like, oh, well, I am far better than designer X because I have done A, B, and C, and what is wrong with you? Because that is not going to get me anywhere. Be nice. Do not be entitled. You know, if you want to contact someone and speak to them about, you know, what you possibly did wrong, send an email, ask for time, ask for a meeting. These are all completely acceptable things to do. What is not acceptable is, I am right and you are wrong, and clearly you do not see my genius, because then they will never want to see your genius ever, ever.
Yeah, there's a level. So if I were going to summarize that as a tip, there is a level where you cross over from, hey, Thunder, hey, maybe this is a person who doesn't take rejection great, over, and but like that's forgettable. And to an extent, forgivable. If you try again and do it later and do it right, like, I'll get it. People will get over it. Just be careful not to go into batshit crazy land where you're calling people up and bitching them out, because that will, seriously, that will get you blacklisted. That is seriously dangerous behavior.
I think you kind of have to give organizers the benefit of the doubt, too, that they know what they're programming for. We kind of touched on that a little bit. But when I was working with Jazz in July, I think one issue that specifically, like, this is one person who's blacklisted, even though I'm probably never going to work in that specific field again. I think we didn't book his band because he'd applied late. And he called me and we had a discussion that went okay, went pretty well. And then he decided that I was far too young to have made a good decision, and then went over my head and wrote my director a letter. And my board of directors, I don't think I had a director at the time, and said, Kat didn't know what she was talking about. I'm appealing to you guys. And happily, at this time, the board said, well, Kat does know what she's talking about. This is what we hire her for. We trust her decisions. But that got him blacklisted. Like, if I'm going to...
And you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, let's pretend that you did screw up.
Yeah.
You didn't.
You have to give them the benefit of the doubt.
But let's pretend that you screwed up. Let's pretend that this guy is super amazing and blah, 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 and you just missed it and you should have booked this band.
Sure.
Just suck it up.
Yeah.
There are other festivals. There are other things. You're not going to win every battle. And drawing something out and trying to force someone to like you, like, there's no, I can't imagine a scenario where that ends positively.
I mean, again, we're talking about how do you make this relationship improve instead of degrade? And he could have said, well, what can I do to get in next year? What could I do to get in now? Is there something that we could do?
If he thought that you didn't get them, he could have called you up and asked you to go to coffee.
Yep, exactly.
You know, right. I mean, you go over somebody's head, that's just...
Well, going over someone's head is one, and I feel like this... Ooh, more thunder. I feel like this is a good juncture.
This may be the first and last
Make-Break
podcast. We are on the 12th floor.
There's a lot of electronics and wires
Windows.
Running into and near us right now. So.
I think that this is another good juncture to mention the great power and great responsibility of social media. Mm-hmm. Is especially, we did mention people who have gone onto Facebook and said disparaging things.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and yeah. Like, people will Google, read your Twitter.
They Google you, too.
People will read your Twitter, read your Facebook. Even if you send someone a very nice letter that says, I'm sorry about the rejection, what can I do to fix it? And then you get on Twitter and think, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. People will read that.
Or even make something that's sort of like a vague... I saw some interesting...
Never
Market Day,
do that.
Yes, Market
Never
Day responses
do that.
Here's the thing. Most people, unless they practice it as a profession, are not clever enough to be comedically passive-aggressive in a way that is not going to get back to the person that you're being passive-aggressive about. Because I would see that shit all the time. You see that on message boards and Facebook and Twitter and stuff. And just, you know, if you're putting yourself out there, I don't know whatever you're putting yourself out there for creatively, people are looking at you. Google indexes everything.
Well,
now.
And it's a maturity
level. It's so easy
level.
To find. It's so easy to find. like Facebook's privacy settings are not as good as you think they mm-hmm. are. You probably missed a box somewhere. Mm-hmm. People are looking at this stuff. People are looking at it, so tread carefully.
It goes to maturity level, definitely. You know, like, even if you say all the right things to their face, if you're then yakking behind their back or going to their superiors, and it just looks bad.
You have to assume that they, like me, are on Twitter 24 hours a day. Like, I don't miss things that come across from my vendors, from people I don't even follow. Like, I see that shit.
Yeah,
I am the internet.
All knowing.
We should probably wind this down. We're coming up on the hour. So don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Don't ask nicely for feedback.
Uh-huh. And do make sure you ask for feedback.
Preferably, if there's something and this seems obvious, but I'm going to say it because it's not obvious. I've learned from experience. If you totally have your heart set on something and it's just your end all be all and you need to get in, don't start there. Like, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if there's, man, I don't want to get lewd. The only metaphor I can think of is sex, right? Like, if you, sorry, guys. Just roll with it.
What movie was that?
You don't want to lose your virginity to
40-year-old virgin.
Yeah, 40-year-old virgin style, right? Yeah, where he's like, you know, you gotta just get some hoes and just work that shit out and get it all figured out. You know, that would be my advice.
So get some hoes.
Honest to God, though, apply for some shit that you don't care about.
Yeah.
If you get don't screw somebody over, but look specifically at their requirements, whatever it is. But if there's something that you have that you can opt out of if you get accepted, right? Sure. If there's you've been accepted, invited, whatever, if there's an opportunity after that to politely say no, start with that stuff.
And
see what's working.
There almost always is.
Like, yeah.
Organizers, I have never been upset. Like, people are very apologetic and that's great, but I've never been upset when somebody says, you know what, something else bigger came up. Awesome. Go do that. If then, you know, you need to come back to us later, that's still great. But yeah, get some hoes.
We never really did kitty time. Any really terribly interesting cat stories from, I don't know, the past week? How's everybody's cats doing?
My cats are fat and they're going on a diet. And my boyfriend.
Did they
mother,
make this decision on their own? Or are they like, oh, we're so fat, we need to eat less?
No. Well, Jonah eats everything and anything that he can find. And I have been told by my.
What does he find, though? You're a very clean person. I don't know what he's finding.
Well, Ken isn't. I've seen him like very, very diligently trying to eat like a peanut, a cashew, it's something. Oh, and he is broccoli cat. Like, have you seen the cat on the internet that eats the broccoli? No, he's that cat. So I've been told actually by my boyfriend's mother that I need to feed them peas.
Have you tried feeding them peas? Like, you're being awfully dismissive of the pea suggestion.
Well, I know.
Why are we feeding them peas? Does that make it
fill them up? It's fiber. It's roughage.
But they're carnivores.
Feed them popcorn.
But
I mean, why peas?
No, because it's roughage. It's just like us. It's not all fiber that they can digest. And so it'll fill him up without giving him calories.
Well, I ordered diet food.
Cat used to
give
be
him,
a,
give him peas.
Cat was a biology major for a year.
I'm a nerd.
So she cuts in with all her science facts sometimes, talks down to us plebes.
How old is the oldest tree, Scott?
4,000 years.
Good job.
You told me that. She also reads Wikipedia compulsively. So that's it. That's the end of the first Make Break podcast. You now know how old the oldest tree is, what to feed cats, and how to handle rejection. Thank you for listening if you've made it this far.
Woo.
It was a good night. I think we did okay.
Yeah, I feel good about this.
Yeah. So.
Please don't reject us.
Woo, 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 woo. And now the Scott rant. Go. Yeah.